Welcome everybody to the Sleeping Wire Show. Welcome to the Week 6 Weekend Preview. I am your host, Professor Chris, and with me on the show, I got producer Rob. How's it going, Rob?
Yeah, good, man. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing awesome, man. Not pumped for this game, Giants-Patriots, but once again, another primetime letdown. Also got Max on the show. How you doing, man?
What up, what up? I'm doing good. I'm actually going to enjoy this game. Got some that FanDuel money going, you know?
What'd you bet on?
I bet that the Giants would need to throw a lot. And the Patriots would probably run the ball.
Well, this is Daniel Jones.
Well, it's like I have Michelle. I have White. I have Josh Gordon because he hasn't really got it going this year, and I'm hoping this is the get-right game for him. And then I have Slayton. And I can't recall if I started Daniel Jones or not. I have to check.
I am actually playing Rhett Ellison in one league. It's the Scott Fishbowl. It's bye week hell has hit me hard. And I needed somebody to play. I needed an extra player. Both my QBs are on bye. I'm playing Ryan Fitzpatrick in the Scott Fishbowl, hoping that Josh Rosen is so bad he gets benched. Yeah, it's a rough one for me. But it's tight end premium, so I picked up Rhett Ellison with Evan Engram out. I'm hoping maybe he can get me a touchdown. All right, good talk.
Sorry, bud, didn't have anything for Rhett Ellison.
Yeah, no Rhett Ellison analysis there?
No.
All right. Well, guys, before we jump into the show, still running the deal for next year's Sleeper Wire Pro-Am and a listener league through our Patreon page. Anybody who pledges $20 a month starting this week and does it all season is going to be automatically entered into the Pro-Am and a listener league. So there is no, you know, waiting until the last minute and then not missing out on the discount and price. It's only $40 to get into both. It runs for November and December. Great deal. Let's go ahead and jump into our quick question. Aside from the Dolphins-Redskins matchup this week, Max, I'll kick it to you first. What's your gross matchup of the week?
My gross matchup of the week, I don't even know. They're probably tonight's, but that's the week before. I'm going to have to say Seattle Seahawks versus the Browns, and it's gross in the fact where I don't think both teams are going to be bad. I just think the Browns are going to get destroyed. Their O-line looks terrible. Seattle's clicking on all cylinders, and I just think it's going to be a slugfest, like a slaughter. Seattle's just going to come out there and absolutely dominate. So if you consider that gross, I mean, I don't enjoy those games.
Rob, what about you?
I got to go with Atlanta and Arizona. I really just haven't cared to watch any of what's been going on with Arizona this year. Kyler Murray seems to be throwing the ball for over 300 yards, but it seems to come in one quarter, and it's kind of boring the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, we got David Johnson. If he's not in there, Chase Edmonds, Larry Fitzgerald, maybe Christian Kirk coming back. I mean, I think that one's going to be more exciting than Titans at Broncos. That's my pick for gross matchup. Titans at Broncos. We're going to talk about the game once we get into the matchups, but I am not excited to watch that one. Let's go ahead and get into the news. Starting off in New York, everybody's favorite tight end waiver wire pickup of the last week or two, Chris Herndon, pulled his hamstring just running routes on his own on the sideline last week. The Jets are not optimistic about him playing. He has been ruled out for week 6 already, and pretty sure that he's going to be ruled out for next week as well. It's a grade 1 hamstring sprain, but there's rumors that the Jets believe it's minor. But, Rob, is Herndon someone you were relying on coming back?
No. I was lucky enough to grab Mark Andrews in a lot of leagues, and his strong start seemed great, but I haven't had to depend on reaching into the tight end pool, but I have to say I'm really disappointed because Chris Herndon was somebody I wanted to be able to see come back strong from the suspension. Now he's got this injury. What are we going to see? Is he going to be football ready? Another disappointing member of that Jets team this year that's just been disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. It's been a rough season for those guys.
Max, did you pick up Chris Herndon in any leagues?
I didn't. I mean, at this point, you probably have, like, your tight end. And if you're really desperate for Herndon, a guy coming off suspension, who, by this injury, I think he wasn't doing the right calisthenics while he was suspended. He might have been lifting, but he isn't football ready. So, to me, like, there were tight ends I'd rather have. Like, Everett, huge pickup this week. If I could, or Everett, right? If I could get him, great. I don't know, just holding suspended players who aren't set to be, like, an RB1, or not RB1, but like a starting running back, or Golden Tate, who's going to be the wide receiver one. I just don't see the point in that.
Well, this was more not holding him, but picking him up after last week because he was coming back off of suspension. Did you do that in any leagues?
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't see the point in rostering a tight end who was suspended, or even adding one coming off suspension, where I just think there's kind of proven talent. If you, this is a deeper league question. My deepest league is a 12-person league. I didn't look towards him. I have my tight end I'm going with. So, no, like I didn't add him. And if you did add him and you were really hoping that he was going to be the good thing for you, whatever tight end you dropped, go pick him back up. He's not going to come off the wire. You can pick him back up in 2 weeks or three or
yeah,
four, depending on how bad it is.
I agree. Let's move on. Cam Newton has been ruled out for week 6 with his foot injury, so it's more Kyle Allen and more Christian McCaffrey, which is awesome. Steelers running back Jalen Samuels will be out for about a month with a knee injury. He had his knee scoped on Tuesday, and apparently it was not good. He's going to miss a bunch of time. So that is good news for James Conner. We're going to talk about him more when we get to the Sunday night football matchup. Sam Darnold, with mono, has been cleared to play this week. Hopefully, he's probably still contagious, so he shouldn't be kissing any of his teammates, but, you know, still cleared to play. We had a bunch of DNPs this week. I actually did not update the Thursday. Did not practice, so that's all right. We still had Sammy Watkins did not practice Thursday. DeSean Jackson didn't. Let's see. Devontae Adams did not practice Thursday. We had some other guys who were limited. Julio Jones limited. Christian McCaffrey apparently had a quad injury. I didn't hear about this, but he was on the did not practice for Wednesday. Rob, did you hear anything about a quad injury?
No, I didn't. And from what I understand, it's more maintenance related than it is holding him out in fear that he's actually hurt.
So they're just, they had to put something down for the injury so they could hold him out?
Yeah, that would be my guess. I mean, what do you say, Veteran Day? Like,
Does a third-year running back need a Veteran Day?
Yeah, when you get the kind of carries that he has this year. I mean, what did he have? Almost 300 total yards last week?
Nah, the dude is just
a
monster.
Machine.
Yep.
Yeah, just a manimal.
Just a monster. You know what else is a monster? PristineAuction.com. That is today's sponsor of the show. They have hundreds of daily auctions for all kind of memorabilia. It is 100% free to join and free to bid, and you only pay when you win. And right now, you can get $5 off your first item by entering promo code SLEEPERWIRE. When you sign up, visit PristineAuction.com to get this deal. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E Auction.com. Let's get into the matchups. We have four teams on bye this week: the Indianapolis Colts, Oakland Raiders, Chicago Bears, and Buffalo Bills. I did not realize how many of these players that I owned in leagues until I was going through setting lineups today and noticed how many bye week spots I had. I mean, Marlon Mack and T.Y. Hilton, I own a lot of those two guys. Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller, Tyrell Williams for the Raiders. I own a bunch of Waller and Williams. I don't have any Josh Jacobs, actually, which I was kind of surprised about. But for the Bears, David Montgomery and Allen. I put Allen Jackson. I don't think the country music singer's in there. Allen Robinson, not Allen Jackson. Josh Allen, John Brown, and Cole Beasley for the Browns. Just a lot of, you know, guys who were most likely in your starting lineups have worked their, you know, not worked their way into the bye weeks, but now have worked their way out of your lineup because of the bye weeks. Even Cole Beasley, who he was someone that in PPR leagues had worked his way into a starting role. Max, do you have any leagues where Cole Beasley was regularly a starter for you?
Yeah, every league.
Every league.
I had drafted a lot of Duke Johnson and Damien Williams, and with them out, Cole Beasley was my flex.
Well, you don't still like have run Duke, do you?
I have Duke in a few leagues still. I never dropped them. In the sole fact, if Carlos Hyde goes down, Duke Johnson has that job we want him to have back. And in a PPR, he's getting about 9 points a game. So as a, oh my God, bye weeks are killing me, throw him in 9 points.
I've got one league where I have five of my six players on my bench are on bye.
That's rough.
Yeah, it's rough.
That is rough.
My other player is Tyreek Hill. So my flex right now is empty, and I'm hoping that Tyreek Hill plays, which we're still not sure about. If not, I'm going to have to drop someone I don't want to drop to fill that flex spot. Let's move into the first matchup of the week. We are, Giants at Patriots, Thursday Night Football going on right now. It is 7-0 Patriots at this time. They've scored that, it was a punt block, right? Not really a punt block.
Yeah, technically a punt recover.
Yeah, it wasn't really a block because the Giants punter kicked it straight into the back of his lineman's head. So that's more of a Jets thing to do than a Giants thing to do. But that was pretty funny. Guys, we have a bunch of shows that we here at Sleeper Wire do each week. We have the Sunday Blitz where we help you out with those last-minute start-sit questions. The Great Debate comes out Tuesday mornings. We also have the Weekend Recap on Tuesdays. And then we do a Tuesday live show as well called the Sleeper Waiver Show. Similar to the Mail Sack, which is Wednesdays, our live call-in Mail Sack show, but it's a live call-in show, just who do I pick up on waivers. We've done it 2 weeks in a row, and it's been really successful, so I'd highly encourage that one, and of course, the Weekend Recap that you are listening to right now. Let's get into the first actual matchup on Sunday, Panthers at Buccaneers. Starting off with Christian McCaffrey, the aforementioned Christian McCaffrey, he is leading all players in the NFL in fantasy points by over 30 points through 5 weeks. He's averaging 31.9 points per game in PPR, which is absolutely insane. He's ahead of Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes, Dak Prescott. He's got 587 rushing yards through 5 weeks. Averaging 117.4 per game, 6 rushing touchdowns, no fumbles, 31 receptions for 279 yards through the air, which is on pace to shatter what he did last season. He is definitely the fantasy MVP so far. So let me just ask you guys a question. What if you have Christian McCaffrey, what would it take for you to trade him, or is he untouchable?
For me, he's untouchable. Sorry, you're not taking the number one fantasy scorer. Just isn't going to happen.
Non-negotiable for you.
He makes up. Yeah, well, he makes up for a lack of points scored if you had Juju Smith-Schuster and you were depending on him and somebody else that has just not been giving you the draft capital that you invested in them. Christian McCaffrey will carry your team right now and make up for deficiencies. I mean, there's nothing that you can ask for more in a fantasy asset than to be able to carry other positions if they don't produce.
You trade him?
Yeah.
For like a Nick Chubb and a Julio Jones, maybe?
No, it'd be more than that. Like, if you wanted to give me like Dalvin Cook, who's obviously the number two, with like Sanders or Cole Beasley, and I needed wide receiver help desperately, maybe. I was actually thinking like a Marlon Mack. And then another good piece. Because Marlon Mack's putting in a lot of work. He's looking a lot better. The offense is clicking with that run game. So I could see Mack. And like I said, if you're hurting for wide receiver, maybe like Cooper.
Amari Cooper? Of course, he's the number three wide receiver right now.
But I'm saying, but like that's the kind of clout you could pull with Christian McCaffrey. If I had Christian McCaffrey and Allen Robinson, or Christian McCaffrey and Julian Edelman, who has been underperforming, I could turn that in to Marlon Mack and Amari Cooper. And honestly, I'd be okay with that because those two are fine. Like Marlon Mack is an RB1 100%. He's probably going to finish a top four running back this year. And Amari Cooper, if he stays healthy, dude, there's just no stopping him.
Yeah, I want to say Christian McCaffrey is untouchable. I have him in two leagues, including the draft night out league. I can't imagine anyone giving me anything that would make me want to part with Christian McCaffrey. But you're right. If you get Marlon Mack and Cooper Kupp, I would think more Cooper Kupp than Amari Cooper, or Mack and Amari Cooper, Mack and Julio, something like that. That would be very honestly tempting.
Like I said, this is if I didn't really need anything, if my team was like kind of good, I'm in second place maybe, or even first probably. But like in one league, I'm in first, but I've lost a week. My wide receiving core isn't the best. I do happen to have Amari and Christian McCaffrey on that team, so I got lucky. But if my wide receiving core was hurting, like I punted on that, you know, I have decent RBs. McCaffrey clearly is the workhorse there. It's like I could turn him into two good options for myself. You know what I mean? I could really spin him into something great and still get like a decent return. And I know Dalvin Cook's obviously a stretch, but like Marlon Mack could be a thing for you. Le'Veon Bell and then a higher receiver than Cooper Kupp. Because Le'Veon Bell, still Le'Veon Bell, with their quarterback Donald Klingback, they're going to
So McCaffrey's not untouchable.
It's situational.
Okay, let's move on. Though we could spend all day on this. I forgot you talk as much as Hoos does. DJ Moore is a top 30 wide receiver through 5 weeks. Do you like him in this matchup? Yes or no?
Not as much as I like Curtis Samuel.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think
give me a quick why.
Curtis Samuel is receiving more targets from Kyle Allen than DJ Moore. DJ Moore has just happened to put up more fantasy production recently, but I think you're going to see that trend go down with DJ Moore just a little bit, and Curtis Samuel will take over in that wide receiver one position. But I've already had to go on air and apologize for Curtis Samuel, so I have to beware here. I'm not trying to say, you know, start him over, you know, Julio or something. Just going forward, I like Curtis Samuel more than I like DJ Moore.
I gotcha. You had to go on air and apologize. I like how you phrased that. Greg Olsen put up a big fat donut last week. He's got 18 catches for 226 yards and 2 touchdowns through 5 weeks. Are you confident in him against the Bucks? Because I feel like I feel like he's going to bounce back.
Oh yeah, the Bucks defense isn't very good. I kind of see this being like a gun show. So start your starters. Olsen's good to go. He's a stud. He had a bad week. He'll bounce back.
Moving to the Bucks side of the ball, Jameis Winston. Great week last week. Last couple weeks with Chris Godwin. Oh man, Daniel Jones is just so bad. I'm probably gonna say that a lot through tonight's show. Just, Daniel Jones is bad. Chris Godwin is a monster. Overall, he's the 9th highest fantasy scorer out of all positions. Number one wide receiver on the season so far. 33 catches, 6 touchdowns, just beasting it out there. Mike Evans was awful last week in his 0 point performance, just 2 weeks after catching 3 touchdowns. Rob, is he back in your lineup as a top 15 guy against the Panthers?
Yeah, I think that qualifies as player studs. You know what Mike Evans can do for you, and you know that goose egg is not something that's been, and something that happens often. So hopefully you see Mike Evans bounce back and strong. I mean, he did have a 3-touchdown performance. What was that, 2 weeks ago?
Yep. Yeah. He's a monster. Let's get this next game out of the way. Redskins at Dolphins. Guys, did you see that alert that tickets to the local zoo were selling for more than tickets to this game?
I wish I could go to
this game. Which would you rather go to?
This game. The Redskins are going to come out and they're going to stomp Miami. Like, this game, genuinely, in my eyes, if you have Redskins players, this is the game to start them. New head coach. They're going to want to run up the score, and this is a team that anyone can run the score up on.
Yeah.
So this is the game. If you have Redskins players, put them all in, except for maybe Quinn. I don't really like him. But besides that, like, Richardson should be an okay flex. McLaurin should be great. Yep. Adrian Peterson, they already said he's going to get more work. Chris Thompson might get hurt because I do think they will be up so much, but, I mean, start him.
Why does them being up mean Chris Thompson might get hurt?
Fantasy value hurt.
The checkdowns. Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, the checkdowns won't
I thought
be there.
You were making an injury joke.
Oh, no.
I am pretty fired up about playing the Redskins here. Not Case Keenum, but McLaurin, AP, and Chris Thompson, who is the fourth most targeted running back since week two. There was that sleeper alert that came through, and that was super interesting. I'm going to be referencing that here again a few matchups from right now. Any Dolphins you'd be willing to play? I think Preston Williams, if I absolutely needed a bye week fill-in. Like I said, I've got a league with Hilton, Tyrell, and John Brown, so I'm going to have to play Preston this week. Would you guys be willing to flex him?
Yes.
Honestly.
If I had to.
Yeah, I'd be willing to flex him and Parker just because the Redskins' defense isn't that great either. It's better than Miami's, but it's not that great. And Miami's going to need to throw the ball a lot.
I agree.
New Orleans Saints at Jacksonville Jaguars. Teddy Bridgewater went for 400-plus passing yards and 4 touchdowns last week. We certainly expect that to regress given his history of being much more likely to throw for 4 yards and 0 touchdowns than 400 yards and 4. Alvin Kamara is still a must-play, and so is Michael Thomas, who leads all wide receivers in catches and receiving yards. Leonard Fournette is the 5th most targeted running back since week 2 with 24 targets. I saw that and it blew my mind. Right? I had Damn. No idea that Leonard Fournette was getting
I
that
I tried
much
getting
work.
Him in so many leagues, bummed me out.
I've got him in a few. I actually benched him last week, which was a huge bummer. Would have won if I'd played him. But it is what it is. I wanted to take a shot on Melvin Gordon because he's my favorite fantasy player. So I benched Fournette for him, but I don't know. I've got Gurley, Chubb, Gordon, and Fournette in this league. So, and I can only play 3 of them. So it's like playing roulette with who to bench each week.
Well, that's what you get for choosing with your emotions, Chris. I mean,
yeah,
you know, you gotta choose stat base, man.
Hey,
for loving Melvin too much.
I am going to say this. Like, obviously, Bridgewater is going to regress this week. The Jags defense is absolutely insane, but it is the Saints, so God knows what will happen. But, like, that definitely, like, you have to start Alvin Kamara. Don't expect normal Kamara numbers and don't expect normal Thomas numbers this week because the Jags defense is that good. And Ramsey should be playing because the owner already said, like, he's not going anywhere. And Brandon Bolden ruins another fantasy night.
Yes. Yep, sorry for all you Sony Michel owners. Bolden comes in on the quarter yard line, gets the touchdown. DJ Chark has worked his way into being a weekly must start wide receiver in your lineup. He's the number 5 PPR wide receiver on the season right now. That's ahead of Keenan Allen and Julio Jones, just absolutely killing it. D.D. Westbrook has also been solid the last couple weeks. He seems to have found a rhythm with Gardner Minshew. His targets, catches, and yards have all been going up, so that's good to see. Anybody else in this matchup? I think we covered it all, right?
Yeah, I'm not excited about Chris Conley or anybody else.
Yeah, I think we're good there. Let's move to another gross matchup, Bengals at Ravens. For the Bengals, I think we got Joe Mixon and Tyler Boyd. Not really excited to play Boyd. Mixon, I think, is someone you can have in there, but not excited about Tyler Boyd against the Ravens. Moving to the Ravens side of the ball, Lamar Jackson is going to run all over this Bengals defense. Do you agree?
Yes.
What about Tate for the Bengals?
Nope, not interested in playing him. Not against the Ravens.
I am.
I dropped
the number
him in
two
the league,
wide receiver.
Actually.
I mean, I don't think he's a long-term play, but as a number 2 receiver, Boyd's going to be covered like mad. They need. Like, Eifert's terrible. I mean, I've been saying this for years. People don't even have Eifert on your team. This is another one. They're going to be throwing the ball a lot. There's going to be a lot of targets. Like, I think the number 2 receiver for the Bengals will be fine. He's a flex option anyways if you have him.
I think the Ravens might actually kind of have a hard time covering a bigger wide receiver like Auden Tate. So if you're forced to play him, I wouldn't feel bad about it, but I wouldn't go pick him up to start him as your sleeper of the week. That's for damn sure.
I will say, well, Auden Tate is a guy who, if you need to cut someone to pick up another position, I'm okay with cutting Auden Tate.
Well, yeah, because he's a 1 or 2 week rental until Green comes back. That being said, Emmanuel Sanders or Tate? Sanders just had a terrible game. Flacco does not look good.
Sanders, easily.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, definitely Tate has Emmanuel guaranteed Sanders. Targets.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't have games. What, did he have 3 targets last week? Let me bet that here. I'm going to look that up. I think it was 3 catches.
And I think his day was saved by a 2-yard touchdown.
No, that's absolutely true.
It was saved by that, but he, like I said, he's a 1-week rental.
Yeah, 6 targets. The targets are not guaranteed to be there.
All right, so 6 targets. Now let's check what Sanders had, because Sanders did nothing. And like this is an issue. Tate's on the board. You don't trust Sanders. They play the Titans. It's not like it's a stout defense.
No,
I think Emmanuel Sanders is the play because of upside.
I do trust Sanders.
Yeah, I'm with Chris.
I think Sanders has a much better chance of getting 10 targets than Auden Tate does. This is a dumb debate. We're going to move on here. Mark Ingram is the number 9 PPR running back on the season, tied with Christian McCaffrey for 2nd most touchdowns. They would both be first if Aaron Jones hadn't scored 4 last week to give him 8. Ridiculous game by him. Marquise Brown, a great play against the Bengals. So is Mark Andrews. I think he has a bounce back week. But it's really a start your Ravens against the Bengals, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I think the Ravens offense is going to make a point to fire back. They haven't really been operating on all cylinders the last couple of weeks. They want to get back to that week 1 and 2 form. So, especially against a division rival, I think you're going to see him try and put an exclamation point on this one.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch on one side of the ball.
Just say this real quick. Sanders had 1 target last week.
Yeah, that's okay. 1. I'm still going to play Sanders over Tate.
Chris, we don't agree on much.
Hands down, Sanders over Tate. Someone make that a Twitter poll. Post it. We'll see how it goes. You know what? I'm going to do that right now. Everybody listening to the show, go check out my Twitter, prof_ChrisSW. I'm putting this up as we go through the show right now. Let's say, let's move to Seahawks at Browns. So Russell Wilson, an absolute stud. I was actually pretty bummed that I didn't play him in the Pro-Am last week, last Thursday, because he went off 4 touchdowns, 37 points for me on my bench. But I did have Deshaun Watson, who 400 plus yards and 5 touchdowns. I was pretty happy with that. But Russell Wilson, rather, is amazing. And so is Golden Tate, so good. Wilson is the number 2 QB on the season. He's just 0.4 points behind Lamar Jackson. He's an auto start. Chris Carson, also a must play. The volume is there, and so are the yards. Tyler Lockett is a good play against the Browns. He's the number 12 wide receiver in PPR right now. And guess what tight end is in the top 5? Will Disley worked his way into being a must-start at tight end, and guess what? He is the number 1 tight end in standard scoring and the number 5 in PPR. Rob, that is not bad for an undrafted tight end.
Yeah, I absolutely love Will Disley coming out of nowhere, but he had that knee injury last year, and it looks like he's come back even better. I mean, he is just a manimal. He runs through people and runs routes that look smooth as butter.
Let's move to the Browns side of the ball. Max, you said the Browns are going to be horrible against the Seahawks. They have been probably the most disappointing team in the NFL. A lot of people projected them to be a top 5 offense. I projected Baker to be a top 5 fantasy quarterback. There's still time. Not looking good, though. He is the number 27 quarterback on the season, only 55.9 fantasy points through 5 weeks, 11.2 points per game. Finished with a nice 0 last week, 100 yards and a couple picks, even negative in some leagues. With how highly he was being drafted, Max, is he a drop candidate? Would you actually drop Baker Mayfield?
So quarterbacks are streamable. They are. Unless you have one of the top five quarterbacks, all quarterbacks are streamable. And I feel like a broken record. Their O-line is terrible. San Francisco was on Baker like faster than he could say hike. Seattle's not going to be any easier. So unless Kitchens can really sort out his O-line issues, this isn't going to be a good game for the Browns. Chubb will be an okay RB2 high-end flex. I think Landry's going to do better than Odell because Odell's really not showing unreal separation this year like he normally does. But Landry at number two, as the number two receiver in slot, should be okay. It's just, I don't like it. Seattle's defense is playing very well, and their D-line is playing very well, especially. That's going to be rough for Baker.
Yeah, the offensive line is just ridiculous. OBJ, he hasn't even been worth a fourth-round pick on the season, let alone his, you know, end-of-the-first-round draft price that he had going on. Jarvis Landry had one good game. Rob, if you had to pick one to have for the rest of the season, which one would it be? Would it be Landry because of the targets that could be there, or OBJ because of the potential?
I mean, you got to love the upside of OBJ, but we saw Jarvis Landry put up 176 yards in three quarters against what's been a pretty bad secondary with the Ravens this year. But regardless, that's a lot of yardage and not a lot of time. OBJ just isn't doing it. I think I'd probably take Landry.
Now, I think Landry, this may have been a stat from last year, but at the time, since he's been drafted, he has the most receptions of any wide receiver. It's insane. And that was on Miami.
He's got the most receptions of any wide receiver through their first four seasons, I think.
Well, I think that was since he's been drafted. It was last year's fourth season.
Well, yeah, I thought you meant like...
Yeah.
Yes, since he has been drafted, right.
Since he's been drafted. So it wasn't his first 4 years. That was with Odell. That was with Antonio Brown. He had the most receptions of any wide receiver. He's got the hands. He should realistically be the safety blanket for Baker, and it almost feels like that's what he's turning into. Odell is the big playmaker.
And with David Njoku out.
Yeah. The Landry is the check down, and Baker desperately needs one.
Let's move on. Philadelphia Eagles travel to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. This one, in theory, I think could be a high-scoring game. It's a rematch of the NFC Championship from two seasons ago when the Eagles stomped the Vikings. Was it like 44-7 or something like that? Absolutely crushed them to go on and then win the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz, number 9 quarterback on the season. Max, are you starting him this week in Minnesota, or would you look to the waiver wire and grab maybe Phillip Rivers or Matthew Stafford or something?
No, I'm good with Carson Wentz. He always manages to get it done, even when it doesn't look like he's going to. The wide receiving core is just way too talented there.
What are you thinking, Rob?
Who are the Chargers playing? Jeez, I got to look at these matchups before
they're playing the Steelers in L.A.
Okay, so I would not take Matthew Stafford, but I may pick up Phillip Rivers and start him over Carson because that Minnesota defense is brutal, and Carson Wentz, when he gets chased around, can be inaccurate, so I think I would get more sure points out of Phillip Rivers.
All right. I am with Max on this one. I would still play Carson Wentz. Jordan Howard, still a good flex play. Had a couple great weeks in a row. Alshon Jeffrey can have a big week any given week. We are obviously starting Zach Ertz. The targets are still there, even if the touchdowns aren't. Number 7 tight end on the season, even if it feels like it's a down season, because it kind of is. But Tom Brady. Tom Brady, Max, I won't say what happened. Oh, man, beautiful. Beautiful. You're going to enjoy that. Kirk Cousins had a decent showing last week. Adam Thielen caught 2 touchdowns. I was super bummed in the Pro-Am. Tyler, I think it's Boucher or Bucher, one of the two. I think it's Boucher. One of our pros in the Pro-Am shot me a trade offer. Stephon Diggs for my Will Fuller. And I listened to Hoos, and I made the trade. I got Diggs. He got Fuller. Yeah. Thanks, Hughes. Super bummed about
that. Long run, you're better off.
I'm hoping so. It was just a huge slap in the face for the first week that it happened, like 4 days after the trade was made. Moving on, Houston Texans at Kansas City Chiefs. Deshaun Watson is amazing, 400-plus yards and 5 touchdowns last week. Carlos Hyde is getting the work at running back. The yards aren't necessarily there, but the occasional touchdown is, and in leagues where you get points per rushing attempt, he's getting you solid points. I've got one where you get 0.5 points for every rushing attempt. I mean, he's getting you 10 points just carrying the ball right there. Will Fuller had the best performance by a wide receiver in the last 15 years. It was insane. 14 catches, 217 yards, and 3 touchdowns, and it would have been 5, but he got tackled inside the 5-yard line twice. And we're probably never going to see a performance like that again. That game put him up to 400 receiving yards through 5 weeks, which is insane. More than half of that came in one game. DeAndre Hopkins, though, huge disappointment for being the first wide receiver off the board. Max, do you have any shares of Hopkins?
No, I don't. I would go after him, though. I don't know why he's not clicking, but he's one of those wide receivers that I expect will be perfectly fine. And it's DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, you can't not trust him.
Rob, you got any shares of Hopkins?
Not in money leagues, but like Max said, I think he's a great buy low candidate right now. Can't beat what you know has the best hands in the NFL.
Yeah, he's had decent games too. 7 for 88 last week, 2 touchdowns in week 1. But in a week where Deshaun Watson has 400 yards passing and 5 passing touchdowns, you would think that Hopkins would have had a huge week, that he would have been more involved. I will say this as well. Don't chase the points on Darren Fells. He did catch 2 touchdowns, and those were on 2 catches. Kind of a fluke. So just let that one go.
Hey, a few Hardman from the Jets. Speculative ad from Fells. Herndon, whatever. If you have Herndon from the Jets, speculative ad for Fells.
We can talk about Hardman if you want to. Mecole Hardman for the Chiefs. We're getting to the Chiefs right now. Pat Mahomes had an ankle injury twice in the game against the Colts. That Colts victory, thank you very much, Indianapolis. That was fun to watch. Colts lineman fell into him once, and then he got that same ankle stepped on by one of his huge linemen. Should be good to go, though. Pat Mahomes isn't going to miss a chance to be out there. One of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Damian Williams was getting a lot of work early in the game against the Colts. I was actually kind of worried about that, but kind of cooled off a little bit once the Colts realized, hey, we can stop anything that they're doing. Sammy Watkins, is he a drop candidate, or do you still feel like you have to hold on to Watkins? Because you can't trade him for anything right now, but he's probably not going to play this week.
Yeah, I don't know that there are a lot of great options to go out and pick up. I wouldn't be going out and picking up either Devontae Parker or Preston Williams to play over somebody playing in this matchup. Sammy Watkins, if he does play, has a chance to put up some big numbers. If he's out, I don't like him. I've never liked Sammy Watkins. He's always been hurt. He's always let me down if I've had to rely on him. And those big games that you get just aren't enough for me to hold on to. So I'm ready to cut that rope as soon as possible.
So let's say that you have Sammy Watkins is your third wide receiver. You don't have anyone left. You got John Brown on a bye. Watkins doesn't play. You have to pick up a wide receiver. Would you drop John Brown or Sammy Watkins?
Sammy Watkins.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Sammy Watkins.
What about Tyrell?
Tyrell Williams?
Sammy Watkins or Tyrell Williams? No, the other Tyrell.
Tyrone Bigums? What? I don't know.
Honestly, I'd drop Watkins.
Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you.
I think Robinson isn't a number one receiver. I think he's better than Hardman. That being said, when Hill comes back, I think Robinson will be a much better number two than Sammy Watkins. Personally, and I don't think Watkins will play this week because he's always hurt. And he's probably still hurt.
Tyreek Hill did get in a limited practice this week. Hopefully we will see him on the field on Sunday. And Travis Kelce, still a beast. Feels like he's having a down year, but he's the number three tight end on the season. Got to play him. Love playing him. Falcons at Cardinals. Rob, this was your poo playoff game of the week. Matt Ryan, quarterback six, having another good season. This is two good offenses. Well, hopefully the Cardinals turn into a good offense, but Falcons good offense against two really bad defenses. Devonta Freeman's looked better, even with Ito Smith getting slightly more work. Julio Jones still a must start. But at this point, Rob, Max, I'll kick it to both of you guys. Who would you rather have going against the Cardinals? Say this is like for your flex spot, Calvin Ridley or Mohamed Sanu? It's been Sanu the last couple weeks.
Mohamed Sanu. Mr. Consistent?
Seems to be.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say the same. And unfortunately, he's probably spent a lot of draft capital on Calvin Ridley, but Mohamed Sanu has been the smarter play the last couple weeks.
Hopefully you guys listened to that great debate with Mohamed Sanu in it, and you went and picked him up, and you already have him. Austin Hooper has been just awesome, killing it this season. He's second out of all tight ends with 34 catches, two touchdowns on the season. He's got a 100-yard game, averaging 10.7 yards per reception, 8.4 yards per target. Matt Ryan clearly loves this guy, and I think so do all of us, right? Everybody should love Austin Hooper, right? There's no one who watches Austin Hooper and looks at the stats and is like, I don't like that guy. He's just fun to watch. Kyler Murray is a great spot start against the Falcons' dreadful defense. And I wanted to put him as my streaming quarterback. And then I realized Kyler Murray is 93% owned, so he's not really a guy you can stream. But he's more along one of those players that he's your second quarterback that you drafted because you like having two. So if you have, let's say, Kyler Murray and Jared Goff, who would you rather play?
Jared Goff. Kyler Murray, what, he had one good fourth quarter?
He's the number seven quarterback on the season.
That's yeah, I runs. Think I'm playing just, Kyler Murray here.
Yeah, okay, he runs. That's great.
Yeah, but I don't think he's good. I don't know. It's like maybe it's just my real football mind thinking right now, and it probably is. But
well,
I don't like him.
Jared Goff is playing against 49ers defense that's been pretty stiff, and Jared Goff is not exactly an amazing quarterback.
No, you're right. He's playing against better defenses. Forgot he's playing the 49ers. You're right.
What about Kyler or Rivers at home against the Steelers?
Rivers. The Steelers love running the score up, and the Steelers are terrible. And
Steelers may love running the score up. Okay.
Chargers love running the score up. It's my bad. The Steelers are a dumpster fire.
Wentz or Kyler?
Wentz.
Yep. Yeah, I would go Wentz as well.
And throw one more in here. Jameis or Kyler?
Jameis. That game's going to be a bloodbath.
I think I'm taking Kyler Murray.
I think Kyler and that is Kyler's the better or the lower, the higher floor, but Jameis is a much higher ceiling.
I could see that. I could see it. David Johnson, number seven running back on the season. He's up there in targets for running backs as well. He's right around where he was being drafted. Granted, there's a few guys behind him who will likely surpass him, though. Zeke and Gurley, I think they're gonna turn it up a notch here. Maybe even Marlon Mack, but I do expect David Johnson to have a better season than Austin Eckler and Aaron Jones, who is not going to have four touchdowns again. And Austin Eckler going to be moved back to fringe flex guy once Melvin Gordon is completely back, in my opinion. He's not going to be someone who I'm going to feel comfortable starting every week.
I think Gordon's going to get traded. I think they're going to show that Gordon has it, and they're going to get rid of him.
If that happens, then obviously what I'm saying is not
true. What you're saying is irrelevant, but that being said, Austin, he's going to lose playing time, but he's also quite literally the most consistent player on that team. This is going to go to a true, he's going to be the third down guy no matter what. Melvin Gordon's lost that role.
Yeah, he Unless was the most consistent up, Melvin with Gordon Melvin Gordon being gone.
Yes, but that being said, Melvin Gordon was an every down back. That's done. I think you're going to see a Tevin Coleman and Dr. Freeman. We'll see what happens.
Nah. Yep, we will see. It's going to be fun. 49ers at Rams. We have a great running game in San Francisco. Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman, both guys who can be in your lineup. passing game hasn't been great, but hey, if running the ball is working, why change anything? You know, they're winning while running the ball. They're 4-0. Let's keep doing it. Could be a tough matchup for the Rams. So we talked a little bit about Goff already. Let's do the same thing with Goff. So Goff or Rivers?
Rivers. I think I'm going to start Rivers. Yeah.
That's what I realized. I forgot who Goff was playing.
I think I'm going to take Goff at home. What about Goff or Jameis?
Jameis.
Goff or Kyler?
Kyler.
We did just answer that one.
Yeah, we did. I know I said Kyler, but it's just like, I just don't like him.
Yeah. Yep. I feel you. Todd Gurley had a couple touchdowns last week. Great to see him getting into the end zone again. Cooper Kupp, guys, let's talk about this man. He's the wide receiver 3 in PPR, wide receiver 4 in standard scoring. 9 catches on 17 targets. 117 yards last week. Just target hog. He's had at least 10 targets in 4 of the 5 games this season. And the other game was still 9 targets, 5 catches for 120 yards. Over 100 receiving yards each of the last 4 weeks, just beasting out there. Robert Woods, wide receiver 22 on the season. That's about where he was being drafted, 5th round or so. But Cooper Kupp is definitely the guy. Gerald Everett, is this just chasing points, picking him up? You can chase the points, but this 49ers team is good, and it's a division game. He's never been a consistent tight end. However, he was going to be part of this week's great debate, which unfortunately didn't get to happen. So sorry about that, guys. We will be back next week. It was going to be Gerald Everett versus Jack Doyle. So who would you guys rather have? Obviously, not to play this week. It's going to be Everett because Doyle's on bye. But for the next couple weeks, who would you rather have?
Doyle. But we discussed Everett on Monday, and my thought on him was, if you're the Hunter Henry owner and you're just kind of streaming tight ends till he's back, Everett's a good ad for this maybe next week. See what happens.
What do you think, Rob?
I don't really like Gerald Everett. He's never really been somebody that has gotten a lot of targets when the whole offense is healthy. I think a lot of the uptick in Gerald Everett's targets were because of Brandon Cook's injury. So I think with everybody healthy in that wide receiving core, you're not going to see Gerald Everett be focused on the way that he was. And you're, like you said, Chris, it's chasing points. It's going to be maddening trying to figure out which week he's going to have that boom, because most of them he's going to give you 2 or 3 catches for somewhere between 12 and 30, 36 yards.
I'm going with my homer pick, taking Jack Doyle in this one. Gotta love it. And I could read you the whole thing I have written up from the Great Debate, but maybe we'll save that for another time. Titans at Broncos, my gross game of the week. Derrick Henry keeps salvaging his fantasy days with the touchdowns, which is awesome. Is there anyone else on the Titans you're interested in playing? Maybe A.J. Brown, who scored again? Max, I see you shaking your head. No. Rob?
Maybe Delanie Walker. Because
yeah, and Delanie Walker.
Maybe, but Walker gets the Broncos.
When does Tannehill come in?
I don't know. Man, it's not been good over there. Let's talk about the Broncos, though. Joe Flacco has been pretty solid due to his wide receivers. He hasn't been horrible. Cortland Sutton, the wide receiver 10 on the season in PPR. Emmanuel Sanders is a wide receiver 23. Both guys, I think, are startable any given week. Cortland Sutton is a staple in the lineup in the leagues I have him in. That said, Max, do you feel confident in either one of these guys against the Titans?
I feel confident in Sutton. That's about it. I mean, it's just mostly because Flacco picks a favorite and he just sticks with it. And that's just kind of how he rolls. Steve Smith was very productive when he was there, but that was it. Torrey Smith was very productive on the deep ball, but he was realistically it. Flacco's not that great, but he picks a favorite. And whoever the favorite is gets targeted a ton.
Yeah, historically, I'd agree with that. Rob, what about you? You starting both of these guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Cortland Sutton with more certainty than Emmanuel Sanders these days. But we'll see what happens, which trend that follows.
it looked like the first couple of weeks it was going to be Emmanuel Sanders as a favorite, and now it's profiled more to be Cortland Sutton. So I'd probably want him more going forward. Obviously, he's the number 10 wide receiver over the 23 of Emmanuel Sanders, but Emmanuel Sanders is a superhuman freak that came back from an Achilles injury.
I know.
Insanely fast.
A December Achilles injury.
Yeah, like, this is disturbing that this man is out there scoring any fantasy points right now. So I don't know if he went, like, you know, somewhere south of the border and had, like, a pig's tendon put in him or some crazy technology that science does now. Are they just growing these things on trees?
Emmanuel Sanders or Auden Tate?
Emmanuel Sanders.
I know, that's the debate we were having earlier.
It's Auden Tate for me. It's Auden Tate, and I'm the proprietor of Emmanuel Sanders, Rob. You were there. I argued for him.
It's for what it's worth. It's on Twitter, off. It is 2-2.
Oh, there you go.
It's 2-2 as of right now. Philip Lindsay or Royce Freeman or neither. I'm taking neither. I don't have any shares of either person, either guy.
Neither.
It seems like Philip Lindsay is the more fantasy productive guy, but against that stout Titans defense, if I had better options, I would opt for neither.
Same here. Let's move on. Last Sunday afternoon game, Cowboys at Jets. Dak Prescott has been really good despite two losses in a row. QB5 on the season, just 6.3 points behind Lamar Jackson, who is QB1. So Dak is right up there. Over 400 passing yards twice this season. He's got 14 total touchdowns, over 1,600 passing yards as well, which is fourth behind Mahomes, Ryan, and Goff. Six interceptions, though, which is third. You know, he's right there with up there with Matt Ryan, who's having a horrible season when it comes to picks. Ezekiel Elliott, you were obviously starting this guy. He's a stud. Amari Cooper, wide receiver 4 on the season. We talked about how great he's been earlier. Michael Gallup, wide receiver 38, which sounds low, but when you consider that he missed two games, that's actually super good, and both of these guys should be in your lineups. I don't see myself sitting Michael Gallup at all. That being said, let's do an either or here. Gallup was most likely a waiver wire pickup, as well as DJ Chark and Terry McLaurin. So let's say Chark or Gallup.
Chark.
Jets
McLaurin
number one.
McLaurin or Gallup?
McLaurin. He's going against a wet paper bag.
Well, let's say not just this week, but let's just say in general. Rest of season, which guy would you rather have?
Rest of season, everyone on the team's healthy?
Yes, let's say that.
McLaurin, he's the number one. And I think eventually the Giants will go back to what they naturally are as a run-first team. I think we're looking at a mirage for Dak Prescott.
You mean the Cowboys, not the Giants?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm watching the game. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh,
but
this,
still
this
stands true. I think we're watching a mirage with the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. I think they're going to go back to a run first team, and Zeke is going to, his work's going to tick up, and Amari Cooper's a stud. There's too much talent. Too much talent. McLaurin's really on an island by himself.
All right. I think I'm taking Chark out of those three. Let's move to the Jets. Darnold back from his kissing disease. You are starting Le'Veon Bell. He's been really good. With Darnold back, I wanted to ask Hoos this question because I think I know what his answer was going to be. And I thought it could go either way, but I feel like I know it. But I'll kick it to you guys, obviously, since you're on the show. With Darnold, do you like Robbie Anderson or Jamison Crowder more?
This week, Jamison Crowder. I have to see it with Robbie Anderson. And I hate to say it because I love Robbie Anderson, but I think Sam Darnold's going to want that. They're going to scheme it to get the ball out of his hands quickly. Jamison Crowder is the guy that's going to benefit from that more than Robbie Anderson. But hopefully Robbie Anderson is still a serviceable starter for you this week because we've been waiting a long time to see him produce this year.
It's been such a bummer.
I think I'm gonna be the odd man out and go Anderson. He's kind of a do-it-all wide out, and his QB's back. That's my QB, man. He's back, and I expect good things.
I am right there with you, Robbie Anderson, for me. I'm not thrilled about it, but if I had a choice between the two, I'm taking Robbie Anderson over Crowder. Sunday night football. We got Steelers at Chargers. And when we say Steelers, we're talking about their third string quarterback, because Mason Rudolph got absolutely crushed last week, knocked out on the field after slamming his head on the turf during a really hard tackle. Did you guys see that the cart at Heinz Field was actually broken? So they made this poor dude walk off the field when any other player would have been carted off.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the cart sat there, and, well, you see him get up. You see the guys have them arms over their shoulders, and they're walking him off, and it's real curious because this guy looks like he has massive head trauma. I mean, like, he's very confused. He's obviously wobbled. I mean, Earl Thomas's helmet caught him in the open jaw and knocked him the F out. Like, that was wild. He was out before he hit the ground. That was one hell of a crazy circumstance. But for them to have to push the cart off after him was highly embarrassing. You have got
I don't think it was a good look at all. It would have been a good look if he, like him walking, that is. It would have been a good look if he looked like he knew where he was.
Sure. Yeah. But and then they didn't push the cart off after that. Like, I can understand that the cart drove away and we're all like, go Mason Rudolph. Way to go, man. You took that like a champ. No, he had no idea where the hell he was after that.
No. And the way he was walking, he was like, had like a weird smile on his face, but you knew like he wasn't smiling about anything. Yeah. It was, hopefully he's going to be okay. He's definitely still in the concussion protocol. Certainly want everything to be fine, but that was just, I would have much rather seen him carted off the field than them making him walk off like it was. But let's stop talking about the injury here. They do have a third-string quarterback coming in. James Conner, RB18 through five games. He's not the top 10 running back pick he was projected to be, but you know, they have a very poor passing offense now with a third-string quarterback and Jalen Samuels being out for a month. Conner back in the top 10 for you guys?
Yeah, I would say moving forward, he's definitely going to have the volume to support being a top 10 running back moving forward.
Max, what do you think?
It's a rough call. I mean, this really doesn't bode well. Like, it's not against him. It's really against the team because they've had so many injuries. The work will be there. So hopefully he can perform, but they're just going to stack the box against him. It's going to be rough.
Juju finally got into the end zone. Is he a must start at this point, or is he a benchable player?
Benchable.
Matchup dependent, but man, James Devlin doesn't excite me, and this isn't a matchup that I would be excited about. But I would say if you drafted Juju Smith-Schuster, you had to draft him in the second, third, or fourth round. So you invested the draft capital to the point where who's your wide receiver one if you started off with all running backs, or your wide receiver two that's backing up Juju Smith-Schuster that you can bench him? I mean, who do you have that you're putting in that spot? You definitely had to draft him fairly early. That's a lot of draft capital invested. See, who's there? Who would be the person that you have behind him?
Yeah, yep, I could agree. Vance McDonald, he droppable? I dropped him.
Yes.
All right. Philip Rivers, we've talked about him a couple times, comparing him with other streaming quarterback guys. I like him in this matchup. Melvin Gordon or Austin Eckler this week? Melvin was more involved than I thought he was going to be during his first game back. I still played him. Shouldn't have, but I still did because I have a soft spot in my heart for Melvin Gordon. But which guy would you rather play this week, Rob?
I'm gonna go a little off the wall here. Eckler. I think he's earned the trust of Anthony Lynn and Phillip Rivers. He's getting a lot of work in the passing game, and they're making that passing game exciting with the screen game. They're using that to advance the ball well. I mean, they're really moving down the field with him. So I think you'll see Melvin Gordon have more of a role again this week, but I don't think you're ever going to see him completely spell Eckler off the field after what he's done this year.
Max, what are you feeling, Melvin or Eckler?
Both. They're both going to be productive, and I think, honestly, PPR, they'll put up the same production numbers. Eckler's earned the spot.
Both and startable?
They're both. Like, if I picked up Eckler as the handcuff, I'd just throw Melvin and Flex and just call it a day. Keep Eckler as a starting running back and just go from there, see what happens.
Keenan Allen is still a stud, having another great season yet again. Wide receiver 6 in PPR, 3rd in targets and receptions for wide receivers, 6th in receiving yards, 3 touchdowns in there as well. Hunter Henry is back at practice. It's a very limited practice, but he is back at practice, so that's good for him. If he's still out there on waivers, go grab him, and he might be. The Draft Night Out League that we did, I had Hunter Henry. We have 5 bench spots. My IR spot was already taken up with AJ Green. I dropped Hunter Henry. He might be out there.
In all of my leagues.
Yeah. Yep. Go grab him if he is. Monday Night Football, last game of the week. Another gross Monday night game. I don't know what the NFL is doing, but they did a pretty shitty job scheduling Thursday night and Monday night games. This could be a super low-scoring, boring-ass game. I know they couldn't predict injury, but still. Matthew Stafford, not someone you should stream against the Packers, in my opinion. They have a great defense. They played really well. Kerryon Johnson has looked really good. He's a good start at running back, but are you ever really benching Kerryon?
No. Absolutely not. Yeah. Not for me, at least. He's been a very serviceable RB2, which is right where you drafted him.
I feel like it's been so long since we've seen him. It's been a week, but I feel like it's been so long. Kenny Golladay looks awesome out there. Aaron Rodgers, no longer a must-play at quarterback, and that feels super weird to say. Quarterback 19 on the season, averaging 15.3. I put yards per game. It should be points per game. Andy Dalton and Marcus Mariota are averaging more points per game. Now, let's not say Aaron Rodgers
is the... Come on, he can go off at any moment. I think this game would have been good if the NFL thought either of these defenses would be this good. Because Green Bay's defense does look nice. Detroit's defense has stepped it up. This could turn into a good game. It could.
Any game could turn into a good game.
Devil's advocate. Yeah. You have 2 talented quarterbacks, even with Adams out, talented receiving core. Saying it's going to be low scoring, in my opinion, I just don't really see it because I think both these offenses are actually very good this year. But their defenses are also very stout. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting game to watch. I don't like it. I don't like it fantasy-wise.
I don't like the game. Aaron Jones, phenomenal week last week, 19 carries for 107 yards and 4 touchdowns, adding 7 catches for 75 yards. By far the biggest fantasy scorer of the week. He was amazing. Devontae Adams hasn't been ruled out this week yet. He does have projections up, so fantasy platforms are acting like he's going to play, but no positive news has come out. I mean, it's looking very much like Devontae Adams is going to be out. If he doesn't, we take in Marquez Valdez-Scantling or Geronimo Allison?
Scantling. Can I opt for neither?
No, you have to pick one.
Scantling.
Crap. I'd take MVS as well.
That was a very Hoos thing to do, by the way, Rob. Neither? Shut up, Hoos. Pick one.
Damn it, man. Terrible choice.
I would take MVS as well. Now, we expected Jimmy Graham to have a good week last week with Adams out, but it just didn't happen. 3 catches for 41 yards. Aaron Rodgers is to blame for that. Jimmy Graham is 68% owned. Is he a guy you would stream this week? Say you have Darren Waller?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to stream Jimmy Graham?
Oh, yeah. I'd be willing to start Jimmy Graham.
Mm-hmm. And even 3 for 41 isn't all that bad. You know what I mean? If you're playing in PPR format, that's better than whatever horse garbage O.J. Howard gave you last week.
Yes.
What does it say about the tight end position when 3 for 41 isn't really that bad?
It's what I've been saying since Sleeper Wire started. It's literally what I've been saying since Sleeper Wire started. Tight ends are expendable unless you have one of like the top 4. Tight end's a position that almost doesn't matter because you expect about 7 points from everyone in PPR.
Well, there's been a few more serviceable tight ends this year. There's been some exciting guys out there. Andrews has looked good early. Evan Engram has stepped up again.
Darren Waller killing it.
Darren Waller turning into a superstar out there in Oakland. You can't project
that's
guys
an Oakland
that are
thing,
come out
though.
And,
Jared Cook looked amazing in Oakland.
Yeah,
Jared Cook
it wasn't in Oakland. Start. It wasn't an Oakland thing before last season, though. Like, last season was the first time Jared Cook was a thing.
No, Jared Cook was a thing on the Titans years ago.
Okay, last time a tight end there was a thing.
Jared Cook, I don't know who the Titan was before that, but look at Jared Cook now. He's irrelevant. Waller's young. Obviously, he's great. But like I said, like there's a few touchdowns. Like, that's a waiver wire ad. They're expendable. You wouldn't have drafted Waller. You know what I'm saying? So,
the average person. Most people probably didn't. Anyways, that's enough talk about guys who are on bye week. So, yes, we would stream Jimmy Graham if he's out there. Let's move into our streaming quarterback segment. That is it for the matchups. I'm going to kick it off here. My streaming quarterback of the week, Kirk Cousins. I'm taking him at home against a beatable Eagles secondary in a revenge game. Max, what about you?
My streaming quarterback is going to be Case Keenum against Miami. It's literally a wet paper bag. Keenum's getting that job back. McLaurin's going to look good. Keenum should have never lost his job. And, you know, speaking of Minnesota, with Kirk, they can tell you Case Keenum's a great quarterback.
So my streaming quarterback of the week is Gardner Minshew, and he's been above his projected points every week. I mean, this kid's come in and been an absolute sensation, and not just for the mustache rides. He has not scored, it doesn't look like, under 15 points for you. So he's at least given you a very solid floor. And last week he showed that he can throw for over 300 yards with 374 in the loss. Now, while New Orleans has a stout defense against the pass, shut down Dak entirely, I do think that Gardner Minshew and DJ Chark are going to explode again. You're going to see a good performance. And I look to see him with at least 275 and two touchdowns.
Guys, before we wrap up the show, I want to give a shout out to the other shows in the Sleeper Wire Network. We have the Break from the Grind show, On Beat, hosted by producer Rob, Dynasty Wire, The Fantasy Fam, and The Fantasy Champs. Follow us on Twitter at Sleeper Wire Show. You can find me on there, Prof_ChrisSW. Rob is on there at eSorbor1. And Max, I do not have yours in the show notes. Your Twitter.
My Twitter is It's so new to me.
Max is a 72-year-old man, by the way.
These kids in this twatter? It's MaxSW23.
MaxSW23. Follow us on Sleeper as well, Professor Chris, E. Sorbor, and MaxSW. And make sure to follow us on or join the Facebook group, Sleeperwire Fantasy Football Club. Max, Rob, thank you so much for joining me this week. Everybody else, we'll catch you next week.
Peace.